Will be a pretty cool show, though.
We'll just see how they'll look with 50-cent beer.
Yeah. There you go. You can roll them all in together. All right, we're going to go to the big break. When we come back, we're going to tackle today's off-season question. The question, if you could have a player from another SEC team, who is it? Text us 229-1939. Who's yours? And then in honor of the leap seconds, we're going to talk about the best and worst seconds of our lives, of your lives, of anyone's lives. Send them in. 229-1939. We'll tackle all of that in the second hour. Should be fun. I'm interested to see who people want, Cease, because there's a lot of, kind of like with yesterday's question, there's a lot of schools of thought out there on who you would have. But let us know again. 229-1939. And we'll break it all down when we come back, so you will not want to miss it. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Like the Zone FM, the Zone HD, or Sports Radio 1150 by visiting facebook.com/zone1150. You're listening to KZNE, KNDE HD3, and KNDE HD4, K274CM, College Station Bryan.
Jay Berman, this report is brought to you by KFC. Stop by KFC today and order a summer meal. Hand the Colonel money to get plenty of delicious food in your mouth. KFC, it's still finger looking good. Pricing and participation may vary. He's the only NBA player to average 23-plus points and 10-plus rebounds in each of the last two seasons. He'll also be a free agent by this time tomorrow.
Lob pass, Aldridge, he catches it, dunks it. Boom, shakalaka!
All right, according to reports, the Lakers and Rockets will get the first opportunities to meet with LaMarcus Aldridge. The free agency period officially begins 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. Another big guy that's being recruited.
Bounces inside to Blake. Lob to DeAndre, and we have a liftoff.
Apparently, Kobe Bryant trying to woo DeAndre Jordan to join the Lakers. And how about this rumor? Sacramento gauging John Calipari's interest in taking over the franchise's front office and coaching jobs via Twitter. Coach Cal says, not happening. Women's World Cup semifinal matchup tonight, Montreal, U.S. taking on Germany. Here's Alex Morgan.
It's almost like a final in itself. Germany's had a great run this tournament, and we've done pretty well and have been continuing to get better and better throughout the tournament.
College football news. The state attorney's office in Tallahassee has issued an arrest warrant for Florida State quarterback DeAndre Johnson. He's accused of punching a 21-year-old woman in a bar on June 24th. Federer and Nadal among the winners today, day two at Wimbledon. I'm Jay Burke.
This is Brian Jones. Wake up with me, the funny one, and that dude, Greg Giannotti.
It's Gio and Jones, mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Bryan High Class of 1980 is hosting their 35-year reunion the weekend of June 26th through the 28th. For more information, contact Don Fazzino at fazzino84@gmail.com. The Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History, with its participation in Blue Star Museums, is offering free admission to all active duty military personnel and their families through Labor Day. Grand Station Entertainment offers free bowling for kids all summer. Kids have two free games of bowling every weekday through August 21st between 10 and 8. Visit kidsbowlfree.com. Today, 30% chance of showers, mostly sunny and a high of 90. Tonight, 20% chance of rain, partly cloudy and 74. Each Wednesday, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course for the Zone Shootout. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. This is Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
Hard times had come to Roger's business. He'd have to ask more from his employees, and he had little to offer, except that he'd be right there with them. Calling his team together, Roger laid out the facts, the company's economic challenges, and its hard choices. Did the workers like it? No. Did they rally behind Roger? They did. Roger's long record of leading with integrity had earned their trust. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Glossy books and well-paid speakers tell us that leadership amounts to getting others to do what we want. Not true. A leader embodies what others will follow. A leader lives out integrity in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
If your business wants to reach brides-to-be, then the fall issue of Brazos Valley Bride magazine is where you'll want your business. Brazos Valley Bride, a 148-page publication, also available on our interactive website, brazosvalleybride.com, makes local bridal businesses more visible and successful. It's where brides go to find the perfect photographer, timeless venues, elegant wedding cakes, and exciting wedding entertainment. Let Brazos Valley Bride bring the brides to you. Contact Sam Jones at sam@brianbroadcasting.com to reserve your space today.
Join the College Station New Lions Club for the annual I Love America 4th of July celebration hosted at the George Bush Library on July 4th. The museum will be open for free from 9:30 a.m. to 8:15 p.m. Live entertainment, concessions, and games for children begin at 6 p.m. The evening will culminate with a spectacular fireworks display and concert by the Brazos Valley Symphony Orchestra. Come early and bring lawn chairs, picnic baskets, and blankets. For parking information and more, visit bush41.org.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour. Aubrey Bloom and Robert Sesta. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Check that out. Lots of great shows. Again, mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150. You can text us 229-1939. And kind of help the, you know, off-season move along a little bit, Cease. We've been kind of trying to come up with questions each day of relating to college football and different, you know, different ideas and everything. So today's question, if you could take a player, assuming you're an A&M fan, if you could take a player from another SEC team and put them on A&M, who is the player? And I asked this to people on Twitter earlier and asked you guys y'all's thoughts as well. And if you want to send them in, 229-1939. Cece, who was the first one that popped in your head?
Well, I was going to take all the guys on defense. I'd probably go with the good defensive end from Georgia, Jenkins, team him up with Myles Garrett to put a lot of pressure. I picked him over Hargraves, the good cornerback from Florida, because you could still have a shutdown corner and still get beat 48-15 or what have you. So I'm going to go with a good defensive player.
I think it has to be a defensive player. I think there is a little bit of.
I also thought of Nemechi or whatever, the guy from
Ole Miss. Yeah, or Robert Candice.
Yeah, him too.
It has to almost be a defensive guy. I think there's maybe better players available on offense. I think Leonard Fournette might be the SEC's best player this season. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have a huge season. Yeah. But does A&M need a running back? And, I mean, for what A&M does, is Leonard Fournette a massive upgrade over Trey Carson? I don't necessarily think so. Same with Nick Chubb, a great player, but not going to put him on A&M's side.
Unless they're going to change offense.
Immediately you're going to rule out wide receivers, despite there being some great ones out there. Farrell Cooper and Dekeel Williams from Auburn, both big-time players. And the other one that you right away rule out is an offensive lineman. I think A&M's offensive line is good enough, especially a tackle that I don't think you need. You were probably going with Laramie Tunsil of Ole Miss or, you know, Cam Robinson of Alabama, the guys people normally talk about. I wonder if you would maybe take a quarterback. You know, given what we know about the A&M offense and how good they are everywhere else, Kyle Allen is a little bit of an unknown of how good he's really going to be this year.
Dak Prescott?
Yeah, and if you add Dak Prescott, do you all of a sudden, is that, you know, is that offense now almost unstoppable? I mean, does that do you have enough faith in Chavis that if you make the offense unstoppable, that you can win a number of games? But it's got to be a defensive player. I mean,
think Prescott's going to be like Kyler Murray? Okay.
despite all the different ways you can look at it on offense to maybe make them almost impossible. It's got to be a defense.
It's got to be defense.
And some of y'all had texted in. This was the first person I got both on the text line and on when I tweeted this out earlier. Reggie Ragland,
the linebacker
from Alabama, I think is a great choice.
I didn't like him because you gotta think also of schemes. What does Chavis does from the outside? So the ends, you follow everything in the middle. I think A&M's got enough linebackers and Walker and Hilliard or whatever. They can make some tackles, need be in the middle. I'd go the outside perimeters.
Yeah, I think you're looking at I almost had to go with someone in the secondary because I think that's A&M's weak link. And I think the best player in the secondary, this is someone else texted this one, VH3, Vernon Hargreaves, the one you said you thought of. He was the one I got the most. Several people have texted him, and a lot of people tweeted it, Hargreaves. I think he's probably the best defensive player in the league.
I think so.
But I settled on, to me, the position we know the least about for A&M, safety. And I like the flexibility of Jalen Mills. I settled on Jalen Mills of LSU as being the guy that I would add because he obviously would start right away at safety. If for some reason...
Been in the system that Chavis runs.
That's another big part of it for me. The fact that he would know the defense already also helped him put him over, say, Tony Connor from Ole Miss, who's another guy that people talk about. But I liked Mills because he brings... A hard-hitting guy, a guy that is flexible too. He can not only play in that, you know, the standard 4-3, but also in that whatever they want to call it, Mustang, or you know, the 3-3-5, whatever you want to call it that they run sometimes. I think he would have some flexibility in that also. So I settled on Jalen Mills as my guy.
The reason I didn't go that way gets because so many offenses in the SEC, they go with five wides. So you can have a shutdown corner, and that takes care of one of those four guys. And that's why I went back to the attack. I want to attack every play. So if I can get a Garrett clone, I'm going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, even if it's only 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
See, and I thought about linebackers was my – because I think linebacker is probably A&M's least talented position. I'll say they're the shallowest. They have 3 or 4 guys there that are pretty good, but then that's all they have.
Potentially, yeah. And they're just potentially.
Yeah, and that's assuming that, you know, Hilliard is all the way back.
Correct.
And that all these guys are playing well. But even if they're all healthy, I think the secondary is probably the weakest unit. So I think they're thin at linebacker, but they're solid. If those guys are healthy, I think they're okay. To where at safety and corner, even if everyone's healthy, I don't think they're really going to be any good.
You name a defensive guy for a defense that finished 109th, 110th, you've helped them.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Any one of those guys... There's actually guys, if they're breathing, can help A&M's defense.
Someone said the one they wish they could add, I guess this would be the guy that people think might be the best player, A'shaun Robinson. A lot of people wish that, you know, they had the flexibility, and this is what several people tweeted, I wish we could pick up A'shaun Robinson. Problem is, there's just more needs at safety and corner. So everybody, I said, a lot of people went with Vernon Hargreaves. Just in their mind, it's kind of the same as yours, but their conclusion is different. They're thinking, if we can get a corner out here that we don't have to worry about, that frees up everybody else.
You got to worry about 4 other guys.
Yeah, so that's kind of their thinking. To where you're thinking, all right, even if he shuts down one guy, you've got all these other guys. They're thinking, if you could shut down one guy, well, then now it's 10-on-10, and maybe that helps out a little bit. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Someone did text that they would take a kicker. They didn't know any other kickers in the league, but they said they would take a place kicker.
Wow.
Which is an interesting, because we don't know what Taylor Bertolette's going to look like this year. I mean,
go for it. 4th and 4, go for it.
So, I mean, that's not a horrible idea. You know, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I think it is. With a defense ranked that high, that's not a good idea.
Well, it goes back a little bit to what do you think John Chavis could do with these pieces?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think he can put the defense in the top 60, let's say 60 anyway, and you have confidence.
I get one of those guys. I'm going in the 50s, baby.
So if you maybe you go with a kicker. I don't know. Like I said, to me though, it was it's got to be someone in the secondary because that's the unit that. I would think if you asked an average A&M fan, would you trade
would you trade
A&M's entire secondary for whoever's entire secondary? It would almost be yes, no matter who it is. I think at this point, right? I mean,
what you need to do is call Chavis, ask him who he would take from the other SEC teams, because that maybe tell you what he's seen on film and what he feels.
If he answered
that one honestly, know a lot,
right? If he comes back and says anybody, well then
I talked to his lawyer yesterday. I should ask her that. You know, who's he going to take?
Well, like I said, if he answers anyone, well then you know that A&M might have some issues on.
He says I'll take anything then. You're in trouble. No one said punter, right?
No one said punter, and I think the A&M is pretty solid at punter. Interestingly enough, that might be the one position that they're the most solid. You got to think that Drew Cage would be pretty good there. I thought it was interesting. I was reading the they did the SIDs poll. We talked about that yesterday. Today, the AL.com put out, you know, how they ranked certain positions. They had who's the most valuable player, who's the top Heisman candidate, and some of these were interesting. They said the most valuable player in the league is Dak Prescott.
To his team, I think.
To me, it's got to be Fournette, right? I mean, without him.
I would go with Fournette, but here's something I did notice. I was looking at, I just do these. Phil Steele, who I think is pretty good, I just noticed he did his preseason teams. He lists four punters, and he does not list.
Yeah,
he does not list Kaiser. He's got Scott, Keen, Gleason, and Bell.
The thing about punters is no one is going to
matters.
Well, real quick before we move on, I want to say someone did text in they would take Barnett from Tennessee just to pair him up with Garrett and let him have at it, which isn't a bad idea. Also, just go get the quarterback.
That's why I said I like that guy.
The thing about punters is that when people are doing their preseason teams, no one's going to sit down and watch the tape on a punter.
I understand.
And see why they were good or why they were bad. They're just going to look at stats. How many? And usually they're not even going to look at how many you pinned inside the 20. They're going to look at how your average length of punt. And when you do that, quite frankly, Kaiser wasn't very good last year. Really, honestly, he wasn't very good at all, you know, generally. But he's not. He's really not very good if that's the only stat you're looking at. I think he had an okay season, but he's, for all of the joking about Kaiser Friesman and everything, he needed to be a lot better.
You're not in the top four in your league of 14. I understand it's the SEC, but
yeah,
he got some work to do, or else he didn't buy a subscription to Phil Steele's magazine.
I doubt he bought a subscription to that one. The most valuable player they had, Dak Prescott, and I have no real problem with that. I'd have said Fournette, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But their top Heisman candidate, Nick Chubb. Which I thought was interesting.
But he's got a lot because people expect Georgia possibly to win the East. And if you get to the East, then you can win the championship. And you always look at the best players. And does Georgia have a chance to run the table? I didn't even look who Georgia plays crossover. I mean,
well, they have Auburn every year. So that's one. That's a problem right off the bat. But
not just one. You got to take two others.
The other one they had is the top Heisman candidate. The top Heisman candidates were Nick Chubb and Leonard Fournette. I don't think either one of those guys has a chance at the Heisman. I really don't. I'd like
not.
To say Chubb does, and I assume he'll have a great start to the season, and he'll be ranked up there in the early Heisman polls. But come the end of the year, if Georgia is a top 10 team, if he's really in the mix, it will be because that they've learned to throw the ball. I don't think that he'll be the reason that they're up there. But
then Mark Richt won't be calling the plays or, you know, something along those lines.
I like their they had one just best.
They play Alabama too, so Georgia's
they had one that's just best athlete, and that went to I was a little surprised here because I thought we might see Myles Garrett there, Duke Williams, or Dakeel Williams, whatever you want to call him, the wide receiver from Auburn. I thought that was a little bit surprising. The runner-up was Fournette, and that's who I would add there. That dude is otherworldly, Cease. But there you go. A little bit of that was your Tuesday question of who you would take from another team. It seems most people would want Vernon.
And the other 13 conference teams that have their host radio shows. The one player you take at A&M is going to be Myles Garrett. Unless you're really good on defense.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing.
If you're really good on defense.
If you're real good at defense, you might take... See, I think it would have to be Garrett
What about one of the linemen? If you're short of linemen, a Fetty.
Yeah, you can maybe take a Fetty.
I'm just asking.
That would,
if you're a weak lineman, if you've got a weak lineman, I don't know who that would be, but
yeah, if you're
got a weak line in the SEC,
if your offensive
trouble.
Line's not very good, maybe you take a Fetty. If your receivers are terrible, then maybe you would add a Josh Reynolds or a Speedy Noyle. The thing about Noyle is I don't think a lot of people outside of A&M, you know, really know how good he can be. I think everyone says, yeah, he was a nice freshman. He's going to have a solid year. But is he the one guy you would take?
I agree with you. So if you're in these other regions and you say, okay, you can't pick Myles Garrett, who do you pick from A&M to help your team? That might be a tough question on the radio show in LSU. Who do you take? Well, I guess since they know a little bit about Speedy Noyle.
If you're LSU, you're taking Kyle Allen. I mean, their offenses and quarterbacks are so bad.
Well, they're taking Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you got to take a quarterback if you're one of them. You just got to take a shot in the dark and say he's got to be better than what we got. So we'll go with Kyle.
They might
Allen.
Take Connor McQueen.
Yeah, they got to take a quarterback if you're one of them. But
that was a pretty dumb question.
That's interesting.
I don't know why I mentioned LSU.
That's an interesting one, though.
I pulled that out of the air. That wasn't good.
I think if you're a random team, Josh Reynolds would probably be up there. I mean, he's a big play guy. Can go down the field and make plays. I would personally would take Noyle. But I can see why a lot of people would take
You're funny, because that means would LSU take every other quarterback in the 13 schools?
They probably would. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Ole Misses they would
take. I don't even know who Vanderbilt's quarterback is. They probably wouldn't take every quarterback.
They probably would not take Vandy's quarterback.
I don't know.
That's too funny. Yeah, no, so they would probably just take Kyle Allen is what I would do. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we were asking y'all what are some of the best and worst seconds, one moment in time in honor of tonight's leap second of your life, of your sports life, of your fandom, whatever you want to send us, let us know, 229-1939. We'll talk about those when we come back. Aggie Nation Power by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing in the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U-factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude, they can be deadly. Be safe, drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Here's a crusty curmudgeon with a country twang tone and a hot sports opinion. It's Olin Sound Off. Olin Sound Off. Tuesdays at 8:20 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Welcome back. Kind of a heavy song from Rob. I think we find his jam out till the man comes around.
I love that song. That's a great song.
That's an all-time, it's a classic there.
Yeah.
We talked about the SEC guys you'd add to your team. The other thing we were wondering about today, in honor of tonight's leap second. By the way, the leap second to me is a little disconcerting. That, like, from time to time, the Earth just slows down, and they're like, oh, we're going to add a second today, guys, to make up for it. Like, that's a little bit, I don't like that.
So what year is this, really?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. By the way, I looked this up earlier. This is just for you, Cease. I looked this stat up this morning and tweeted it out, and some of you guys liked it, and I thought I would share with the radio audience. Of A&M's last eight conference championships, by the way, the concept of the leap second was invented in 1972. So, or that's when it kind of went into effect in the U.S. So we've only had leap seconds since the early 70s.
So along with Title IX, I guess.
But the since the leap second was a thing, A&M has won the conference championship eight times. In both the South, you know, all three, Southwest Conference, well, they haven't won an SEC one, but Southwest Conference and Big 12. Six of the eight titles came in years in which a leap second was added to the calendar. How about that?
Oh, man.
75, 85, 87, 92, 93, and 98.
How many years have had the leap second since 72?
About somewhere around half. I mean, it was a.
So it's almost 50%.
Yeah, it's a. Well, there's different leap seconds, and there's some of the beginning.
So
of
there's
year,
a chance
the
when you win it, it's you're gonna win. You got a 50% chance.
But I'm just saying, the A&M does well. The last leap second, 2012.
So
that worked out.
They
for
need
A&M
to win more. So they miss leap seconds. That's their problem.
I'm saying the leap second is a harbinger of success for Texas A&M. So there you go.
I'll still take Hargreaves or
you'd rather have
Jenkins.
Hargreaves than the leap
Jenkins,
second.
Or Jenkins.
I asked some of y'all what would be your best and worst seconds, and it's hard to because it's usually hard to narrow down to exactly 1 second. It had to have really only everything occurs over several seconds, so it's hard to narrow it down to one. But Rob came in right away and said the Derek Fisher 0.4 second shot for the Lakers over the Spurs.
Sure.
That would be one of my favorite seconds.
Whoa.
Because I was still a big Lakers fan then. I'm less of one now. But yeah, I liked that one. And I was joking, that one could happen twice. That was only 0.4 seconds. So he could have done it twice in that much time. So that was one. Someone else said, our friend Jay Class of 84 said, worst second ever, not involving a death. And he said, guys, this is bad. It still hurts. The Texas field goal. They said he said, my SIP friends are still sending me that video when I pop off about wanting to play them. That is a. There's no question what Alabama fans' worst second is, right? I mean, I've seen jokes about that on Twitter all day today.
Without a doubt.
That anytime you add a second, Nick Saban probably dies a little inside. Other fans of 1 second, Bo Pelini, not a huge fan of 1 second. If not for 1 second, Texas doesn't make the title game. Was that 2009 when they beat Nebraska with the 1 second in the Big 12 championship game? So there you go. There's some good seconds, some bad seconds.
I could think sitting there on my couch watching the Super Bowl when the Steelers won in 2008 or it was 2009, and when Holmes caught that ball, I immediately said, he won then. That's not a catch. Then I watched the replay, and I jumped off the couch. I go, that's a touchdown. I go, we just won the Super Bowl. Now I remember that.
Someone else texted. They said trying to find the exact text, but they said that I can think of a second against LSU basketball in the NCAA tournament.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
But that second didn't end the game. There was a quick possession after that, right? Because A&M inbounded the ball to Josh Carter and he fell down or whatever.
I remember the shot being gone in, though.
I think there was still a little bit of time left.
AC's law shot, I guess, when it went in, but once again, it was tied, so they wouldn't have lost.
Yeah. That was the first one that comes to mind for me, because I just remember that ball hung in the air for like 8 hours.
Yeah, they wouldn't have lost.
Someone did say the AC Law missed layup against Memphis. That happened in a second. Yeah. That was a bad second. That was a pretty rough second, but there you go. We'll all get that extra second back. We'll get that second back tonight. Make the most of your extra second. It's at 6:59:59 tonight. So
there'll be a moment of silence at the Bombers game for that while everybody's drinking 50-cent beer.
Use it wisely, Cease. Today was a fun day. This morning, John Calipari was rumored to be headed to Sacramento. Then he wasn't. So that happened today. You been paying attention to all that? Sacramento,
I didn't pay attention. I was watching.
There was reports they had reached out to John Calipari, as every open coaching position does. And then he's saying no. So all that happened today. Brett Favre was making news again today. He said that...
Sending selfies out?
Well, he said he still thinks he could play in the NFL. I mean, what's he doing? Why do people keep giving Brett Favre a microphone?
Exactly, because the guy's got some problems.
He's been banged up a little bit.
He just can't walk away. He must have some
concussion
problems.
He really does think he could still
play. That's what I'm saying. You're right. He does. He does those commercials. He throws that ball to the dog and goes, "Hey, I could play in the NFL, man. I just hit Rover down and out. I need to go to the NFL. I can play for the Jets." He can play for the LSU or Texas.
And then, of course, tonight, I know you're hyped up. Tonight's a big game. I know it's not your favorite sport and you haven't been watching it, but tonight, the big one, the U.S. versus Germany in the Women's World Cup. 538 has their soccer power ranking index. It's calling this the best women's soccer game in the history of the Women's World Cup, Cease.
Okay, if this really is an event, can you bet on it in Vegas? Have you checked on that? That's how
we can
tell if it's an event.
I'm sure you can bet on the Women's World Cup. I don't know how a line works for a soccer
game. Let me see our today's line. I wonder if they had to, you know, I'm just wondering if
but
you can bet on that.
They are the,
let me call Phil.
Yeah, because of the way that the FIFA did the tournament, which
I thought it was FINA or FIFA.
It's still FIFA, but the way they did the tournament in the women's is not necessarily to bracket it the best way. It's to get the most attendance, and they stack the bracket a little bit, is what I'm saying.
Man.
And like that's not just like a conspiracy theory. They really do, and that's why Germany played France so early in the tournament last week, and that's why Germany and the U.S., despite being the number one and number two ranked teams in the world, will play tonight, 6 o'clock on Fox. Are they gonna do it? Can you name one player for the U.S. women's team?
Yeah,
not even Hope Solo.
Is that Napoleon Solo's granddaughter?
Who's Napoleon Solo?
From Man from U.N.C.L.E. Come on. Remember Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I don't know what you're talking about. But
you don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, no one ever knows what you're talking about. But that is going on tonight. Should be an interesting one. Like I said, the best two teams in the world. They've played three times before in the World Cup. Every single time, the team that won went on to win it. Be an interesting one.
Who's the other semifinal? That's I look forward to.
It's like Japan and someone. But that's why that's what I'm talking about. That's why the bracket is so stacked.
If you knew the sport, you would have known who's the
best
semifinals.
Three teams in the world are all on the same side of the bracket. So we will see. Should be a fun one tonight. It's been a wild tournament for the two teams. Clash of styles, Cease. Germany, 20 goals so far in the tournament. Best offense in the tournament. The United States has only allowed one goal. They are the best defense in the tournament. So, clash of styles.
So it's John.
Always take the defense.
John Chavis against Kevin Sumlin tonight in the World Cup.
We'll find out if defense wins championships for the U.S. women tonight in the World Cup. Should be fun. I know the Bryan College Station Outlaws are going to be over at the corner watching the game tonight. Should be a good time. That's the U.S. support. They're called the American Outlaws. They're going to be over at the corner tonight watching the game. Should be a good time. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to have the high school report. And, you know, I don't want to say that certain high school reports are any better than other high school reports. They're all every day. The high school report is exciting. Today's a good one. College Station quarterback Ty Brock is going to join us on the high school report when we come back. Should be a fun one, so you don't want to miss that. Stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Bill Oliver with the news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. For the second time in as many months, the College Station City Council heard recommendations about what to include in a possible bond issue this November without giving any direction. The only council member to offer any comments at their most recent meeting, Blanche Brick.
The transportation issues alone that you've gone through tonight are 60-plus million.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what they're estimating the bond issue to be. So, obviously, we've got some problems here.
The council also heard about $2.5 million for park repairs and improvements in addition to $60 million for streets. Those listed are on our website at WTAW.com. Next week, the council is scheduled to hear what staff wants for new and existing city facilities. Bryan Police dealt with a slow-speed chase with a pickup last night that was going between 8 and 14 miles per hour and was weaving in and out of oncoming traffic. Pursuit began at Finfeather and Peppertree, went south to F&B Road, then headed west before stopping at FM 2818 after part of the driver's side front wheel fell off after hitting curbs multiple times. Driver, 57-year-old Alvin Berlin Hill, told officers, according to the arrest report, he had taken 5 muscle relaxer pills. Hill arrested for DWI with 3 or more previous convictions. There's no change to local regulations against fireworks inside Bryan and College Station. Bryan Deputy Fire Marshal William Bouse has noticed a twist about what's being sold at fireworks stands outside the city limits.
It used to be that the only thing they sold in the fireworks stand were fireworks, but I have seen a few of those poppers and celebratory devices sold out there.
Bouse has seen no illegal fireworks sold at retailers inside the city that are offering what he calls poppers and other celebratory devices. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with 4-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002, remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cornerstone Home Health, Zwirneman Flooring, The Sleep Station, and Tom Light Chevrolet. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
You're listening to The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, joined by Larry Bowen for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, before I already psyched up. I got the people hyped. I told them who was coming on.
Yeah, I was pumped up.
I sent you the
email last night, didn't I?
Before we bring him on, I got to tell you that you have to ask him, or maybe I'll just ask him. He might have the greatest Twitter handle I've ever seen of a high school athlete.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Is it
Chew Braca?
I like it. Our guest today, Aubrey, is going to be College Station High School quarterback. Well, he's also a baseball player, but he's such a big-time quarterback, we're going to call him quarterback, Ty Brock. He's going into his junior year, and he deserves a bless his heart right off the beginning, because I'm pumped up. We got a big-time recruit on. I feel like the high school report is just on fire. We're bringing in all these great people. I got to admit, poor Ty got ambushed because I went to cover the Little League playoffs last night, and Ty was being a good big brother. He was watching his younger brother, Grayson, play for the College Station Major Boys, and his dad, Steve, is the manager of that team, and, you know, poor Ty, you know, when you're a stud football recruit and 6'3", and you're sitting in the bleachers with a bunch of old guys like me, you're going to kind of stand out. So I just ambushed him. Ty, thanks for being on with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. And I told I'm going to share this with Aubrey. I don't know if he's going to leave his mic on or not, but I told this to you guys last night. And, you know, a sports writer and a radio guy will use just about anything they can. I believe, as far as I know, you're the second high school junior. And you're a junior because you've already finished with your sophomore year. I haven't even started really junior classes, but you're going into your junior year. I believe in the long history of this program, you're the second junior to ever be on. The first one was last summer. It was Trendavian Dixon from Navasota, and he went on to break a national high school record for touchdown receptions. So we got a good thing going, okay? So we'll just we don't want to put too much pressure on you, but just so you'll know, you're in a special category. I did want to have you on, Ty, to talk about a few things for our listeners who don't know. Ty really is a rising football recruit prospect going into his junior year, and before we talk about you, I'm going to let you do what all quarterbacks love to do, which is spread out the praise to their teammates, since those are the guys that are catching the passes and blocking for you. Before we talk about you specifically, Ty, tell me, let's talk a little bit of Cougars 7-on-7. I got to see you guys a few weeks ago at the A&M Consolidated Tournament. You qualified for state. You'll be playing in the state tournament in a couple of weeks. Tell me about that team. Man, I was impressed with what y'all had. You've got some weapons to work with, don't you?
Yes, sir. We have a bunch of younger dudes stepped up to play this year. And these past couple of weeks, we've definitely been playing more as a team than as individuals. And have some guys playing both ways that's helping us out. Everything's going pretty well. We're starting to mesh as a team.
Now, last year in the fall during football season, when you were a sophomore, you shared time at quarterback with my good friend, Cole Whittlesey. You're already getting some attention, but the thing is, Ty, I mean, this summer, if you can judge things by the internet, I don't know if I'm wrong or right to judge things by the internet, but I guess if there's anything in the world that it might be fairly dependable on, it would be football recruiting, because people are so nuts about it. But your prospect, your star, whatever you want to call it, has really risen a lot this summer. Can you tell us a little bit about what this off season and this summer has been like for you, as you get ready to go into your junior year? Just tell us from a football standpoint what you've been doing in terms of working out here with your teammates, in terms of going to camps and that kind of thing. What have you been doing, Ty?
Well, starting in this past year, starting in off season, I definitely started concentrating on gaining some weight and staying in the weight room a lot. I'd go a little faster also. And then this spring, I've forfeited a lot of time with the baseball team to go work out with in off season with the football team, is we get one day a week to work football, and each day I'd make sure I was there for that. And then I missed the majority of baseball playoffs because of spring football. I spent all my time with spring football. Decided that was the best thing for me, as I wasn't starting on the baseball team, but I felt like that was good for me. And then this summer with the camps, I think I was just able to, since I wasn't, I was not on the radar that much going into this year, but I think showing up at the camps, I was able to show a lot of those college coaches what I could do with the football, and fortunately, I impressed some of them.
One of the things that got my attention, and we're on the high school report talking to Ty Brock, the College Station quarterback, one of the things that got my attention, and it got a lot of notice on the internet, was within the last month or so, I guess, you went over to the University of Texas camp and really made a good impression. And you know, based that upon the recruiting analyst and the websites and those type of things, but they talked to the coaches and they see these things, and so they do know what they're talking about. Tell us, I mean, I don't know if you'd say that was the highlight so far, but I mean, that's got to be a big deal when you're at a major college camp and you perform well and get those kind of rave reviews. I mean, I don't know if maybe you know yourself better than the rest of us, and you might have had real lofty expectations going in. But I think that performance in the reviews you got, my gosh, that had to really be encouraging to you.
It really was. I enjoyed my time there. I think the coaching staff there really made me better as a quarterback, and then the competition as well at the camp. There's a lot of other good quarterbacks from in and around the state. That definitely drove me to perform to the best of my ability.
Have you gone to other college camps in the off season or the summer, Ty?
That was the only overnight camp that I've gone to this summer, but I've been to several other mini camps, including U of H, Baylor, and A&M.
Junior days, is that basically what they call it, I guess?
Yes, sir.
Right. I want to ask you, Ty, because I was thinking about this, and what can I ask you? I always like to get into people's feelings and their thoughts. And the thing that occurred to me is, I mean, it's there. We can ask you a lot of questions about the process and everything, but I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners what it's like to go to one of those junior days or go to the Texas camp and know that the coaches and that you're just being under a microscope and knowing the importance of what you're doing, because your performance is, you know, going to determine whether you have scholarship offers and where you get to spend the next 4 or 5 years of your life. What is that like? I mean, I guess if you play quarterback in high school, you have to kind of accept the fact that you're going to have pressure, that it goes with the territory. But from the outside looking in, I would think that would be pretty tough, pretty scary. What is that like when I know they're trying to teach you things, and that's part of the process, but you know that you're being graded and you're being evaluated. What is that like?
Well, it is intimidating. When you get there, there may be one or two guys that they've already met before, but for the most part, everybody is just another face there. So at the beginning of these camps, there's definitely a big competition part of it that you want to you're just trying to be better than the next guy down the line, and if you can do that, then a lot of times you'll get recognized, which
now,
is what I was able to do at a lot of these camps this
right.
summer.
Now, you've already got offers, Ty, and I've seen online that you've been offered by, if I'm not mistaken, University of Houston and McNeese, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Anybody else that I don't know about?
No, sir, that's the only two I have so far. A lot of other interest, but Those are the only two concrete ones right now. Yeah.
Well, tell us about just the recruiting process. I've talked to a lot of young people over the course of the years covering high school sports, and it's just almost like a whole nother world, it seems like. There's so much at stake and so many decisions that young people have to make. What has it been so far? And I know it's going to intensify, but what has it been so far for you? I mean, I could see a college, I'm not going to pick specifically on UH or McNeese, but I could see a college that would get on you early and say, hey, we love you. We were with you the whole time. Come to us now before, you know, whoever, some other bigger school comes. But what has it been like? Are you feeling a lot of pressure, or are you kind of just enjoying the ride? How are you approaching being a recruit?
It's definitely been really enjoyable for me, actually. This summer, the offer from U of H is actually a big relief, weight off of my shoulders, knowing that I have a fallback plan no matter what. And then Coach Walsh at Cal Station High School does a great job of coordinating our recruiting and dealing with all the college coaches. And really, I haven't felt a ton of pressure from all the college coaches visiting. I've just gone out and done the best that I could.
Yeah. Just get pressure from the guys covering your brother's Little League game. What about this is flexible, but do you have a timetable? Is there something in your mind? A lot of guys choose their colleges after their junior season, you know, between their junior and senior year. Some people wait until much later. Is there some way that you would like to do it, Ty? I mean, if some of the other big boys came to you in during or at the end of your junior year and said, we want you, would you try to pull the trigger early? Do you want to wait? How do you want to handle that?
Well, I think, definitely for now I'm going to wait, but I could see myself choosing the college after this season, but I could also see myself waiting until after my senior season and seeing what happens. I definitely want to choose a school that will give me a good education as well as giving me a chance to play football.
We're visiting with College Station quarterback Ty Brock. Got just a minute or two left as we finish up. And, Ty, we appreciate you being with us, and sorry we ambushed you the way we did. But you mentioned this at the beginning of the interview, and I'd like to ask you this at the end. You're listed at 6'3", somewhere 180, I guess maybe a little bit more than that. But physically, you have some attributes that a lot of the kids – that are competing for quarterback spots and scholarships and stuff don't have. And Coach Huff told me when I did a spring training recap on you guys that you had made a big impact or an impression with your athleticism. People saw your size, but they didn't know you've increased your strength and increased your speed. Has that been something that you've focused on a lot? Is it just part a function of growing up and maturing? And I'm wondering, I mean, as you get ready, you know, you're only a couple of months away from starting your junior year with the Cougars. You ought to feel, I mean, I would imagine you got to feel like things are just falling into place the way they're supposed to.
Yes, sir. I do kind of feel that way. Coach Frazier does a great job in the weight room with us and coordinating a lot of our eating and diet. And definitely growing into my frame has helped me this past year. And I showed up to Cal State High School at about 6'1", 140. And I've done a lot of growing since then, and it's all thanks to my coaches and the athleticism that God gave me.
Well, Ty, we appreciate it very much. It's, you know, I got to give you a hard time when I get a chance. You know, you've added 3 inches and 40 or more pounds since you showed up in high school a couple years ago. The guys on the radio station on our show, we've done that and didn't really mean to do that. So we'd like to send some of that over your way. You could probably take another 10 or 15, and Lord knows that a few of us over here could get rid of it. But, Ty, we appreciate you being with us, and based on what you've done so far and the wonderful possibilities you have ahead of you, I expect and hope that we'll have you back on the show many times in the future if we didn't scare you off with this first appearance.
No, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you very much.
There you go.
Aubrey, that's interesting because this is the second year in a row that we have had I think what Ty will prove to be will be, I'd sort of say, like a national-type recruit. But, I mean, he hasn't even started his junior year. Houston's a Division I school. That coach was the quarterback's coach at Ohio State.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job.
Tom Herman. And he'll have more offers. He'll get more offers. He made a big splash at the UT camp a few weeks ago. And we had Dixon last year who's, you know, like could go anywhere in the country. So it's pretty interesting. We've had a couple of years in a row and we have some big time guys to keep up with.
Yeah, there you go. Always good to hear from those guys on the High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break and come back and wrap up with the news. Stay with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Join the College Station New Lions Club for the annual I Love America 4th of July celebration hosted at the George Bush Library on July 4th. The museum will be open for free from 9:30 a.m. to 8:15 p.m. Live entertainment, concessions, and games for children begin at 6 p.m. The evening will culminate with a spectacular fireworks display and concert by the Brazos Valley Symphony Orchestra. Come early and bring lawn chairs, picnic baskets, and blankets. For parking information and more, visit bush41.org.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude, they can be deadly. Be safe, drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
If your business wants to reach brides-to-be, then the fall issue of Brazos Valley Bride magazine is where you'll want your business. Brazos Valley Bride, a 148-page publication, also available on our interactive website, brazosvalleybride.com, makes local bridal businesses more visible and successful. It's where brides go to find the perfect photographer, timeless venues, elegant wedding cakes, and exciting wedding entertainment. Let Brazos Valley Bride bring the brides to you. Contact Sam Jones at sam@brianbroadcasting.com to reserve your space today.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Louis Bellina here, program director for the Zone family of radio stations with a Zone public service announcement. We're currently doing some work on the 1150 tower, which means you may notice that 1150 fades in and out or just goes away for a while. But never fear, it'll be back and at full strength once we finish up the repairs. You can listen to all Zone programming uninterrupted on the Zone 102.7 FM and the Zone HD 95.1-3. We appreciate your understanding and patience, and we'll be back at 100% shortly.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, joined by Jordan Overturf. Tell us what's going on out there in the world. What's happening?
Well, you know, as always in the newsroom, working hard, busy trying to track down the stories of the day. The big one that I've been working on, I don't know if you heard about it, this morning around 5 a.m., Union Pacific had a train derail up south of Bremond. About 14 cars were derailed. No injuries reported, thankfully. All carrying fracking, sand related to fracking, you know, those kind of operations. Union Pacific officials tell me that they should have the track back and operational up later, either later this evening or sometime tomorrow. They'll have everything going, but it'll take a couple weeks to figure out kind of what happened there and what caused the derailment. We'll also be looking at some statewide numbers. It looks like 2015 is actually up in the number of derailments over a five-year period, so it's something to keep a watch on. Meanwhile, over at Texas A&M, our buddy Sam Peschick.